We are beginning a study of the book of Proverbs. Solomon is the author of the book of Proverbs. Actually, he was used by the Holy Spirit to make the mind of God known to us on the subject of Proverbs. The Holy Spirit used Solomon to write this book of Scripture and the two that follow it, Ecclesiastes and the Song of Solomon. Some think he wrote the Song of Solomon when he was very young, Proverbs in middle life, and Ecclesiastes when he was old. In the title of the Song of Solomon, he called himself Solomon, perhaps because he wrote it before he ascended to the throne of Judah, being filled with the Holy Spirit when he was young. In the title of Proverbs, he called himself the Son of David, King of Israel, for he then ruled over all Israel. But in the title of Ecclesiastes, he called himself the Son of David, King of Jerusalem, because then more than likely his influence had grown less on the distant tribes and remained confined mostly in Jerusalem. Solomon ruled Israel from 971 to 931 B.C., 40 years. Solomon was granted great wisdom of God. We read in 1 Kings 4, 29-34, "And God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much, and largeness of heart even as the sand that is on the seashore. And Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the east country, and all the wisdom of Egypt. For he was wiser than all men, than Ethan the Ezrahite, and Heman, and Chalcol, and Darda, the sons of Mahol. And his fame was in all nations round about. And he spake 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. And he spake of trees from the cedar that is in Lebanon, even to the hyssop that springeth out of the wall. He spake also of beasts, and of fowl, and of creeping things, and of fishes. And there came of all people to hear the wisdom of Solomon, from all kings of the earth which had heard of his wisdom." So we'd like to notice several things about this author, several things about Solomon. He was a king and a king's son. Most of the writers of the Bible up to this point were men of a higher social order in the world. Men like Moses, Joshua, Samuel, and David, and now Solomon. But after Solomon, the inspired writers were generally poor prophets, men of no fame or notoriety in the world. And maybe this was the case because that dispensation was approaching in which God would choose the weak and foolish things of the world and confound the wise and the mighty. And the poor would be employed to spread his word. Solomon was a very rich king, and his dominion was very large. And yet he spent much of his time and energy in the study of God's word, and was a prophet and a prophet's son. There is no loss of dignity, nor respect for any person to become wise in the ways of God. Solomon prayed to God for the great wisdom and understanding which he had. In 1 Chronicles 1, 7-12, we read this. "In that night did God appear unto Solomon, and said unto him, Ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon said unto God, Thou hast showed great mercy unto David my father, and hast made me to reign in his stead. Now, O Lord God, let thy promise unto David that my father be established, for thou hast made me king over a people like the dust of the earth in multitude. Give me now wisdom and knowledge, that I may go out and come in before this people, for who can judge this thy people that is so great?" And God said to Solomon, "Because this was in thine heart, and thou hast not asked riches, wealth, or honor, nor the life of thine enemies, neither yet hast asked long life, but hast asked wisdom and knowledge for thyself, that thou mayest judge my people, over whom I made thee king, wisdom and knowledge is granted unto thee, and I will give thee riches and wealth and honor, such as none of the kings that have been before thee, neither shall there any after thee have the like." So God not only gave Solomon the wisdom and knowledge he requested, but he also gave him riches and wealth and honor such as no king before or after him. Solomon made good use of the wisdom God gave him. He governed himself and his kingdom with it. He gave rules of wisdom to others also, and he transmitted them to future generations, including us today. We today are greatly privileged to be able to learn some of the great truths which came from the wisdom of Solomon. All because Solomon prayed to God for this wisdom and understanding, and God gave it to him. But we must recognize, sadly enough, that Solomon also had his faults. In his latter end, he turned away from the good ways of God, the very ways that he taught in this book of Proverbs. The story of Solomon's fall is found in 1 Kings chapter 11. And I'd like to read some verses there. 1 Kings 11, beginning with the third verse. And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. For it came to pass, when Solomon was old, that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. Verse 9 says, And the Lord was angry with Solomon, because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice. So this is a sad story, that the penman of such a book as this should fall as Solomon did. It's a dark chapter in the Word of God, but the Word of God does not distort the truth for any man, even Solomon. The Word of God tells it like it is. So let those who are greatly qualified in knowledge of God's Word take a warning from this example of Solomon, to not be proud or overconfident. And let us all learn not to think badly of good instructions, though we receive them from those who did not altogether live up to them, like Solomon. This book of Proverbs is a new way of writing in the Bible, in which divine wisdom is taught in short sentences, which contain their whole message within themselves and are not connected with one another. We have had divine laws, histories, and song, and here we have divine proverbs. Such various methods has God used for our instruction that no stone has been left unturned to do us good. If we perish because of our folly, we have no excuse. The word proverbs means to be like. Proverbs is a comparison between common concrete images and life's most profound truths. Proverbs are simple moral statements or illustrations that highlight and teach fundamental realities about life. We learn in 2 Chronicles 1, 7 through 12 that Solomon sought God's wisdom. A proverb conveys a specific truth in a pointed and forceful way. Truth that if not learned by instruction from another will require long experience to acquire. It is truth presented in a form that is easier to remember, a philosophy drawn from experience and applied as a rule for conduct. The book of Proverbs has no unscientific statements or inaccurate observations. Proverbs 4:23 says, Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Yet it was 2,700 years later before Harvey found that blood circulates and that the heart is the pump. Not one proverb in this book is unscientific today. That is because Proverbs is God-inspired. Proverbs is a book presented on a high moral plane. You will find no immoral sayings or advice such as occur in man's writings. Proverbs of man may contradict themselves, but there are no contradictions in the book of Proverbs because it is inspired by God. The advice given in Proverbs applies to all dispensations, whether we live in the Old Testament or in the New Testament times, or Old Jerusalem or New Jerusalem, its truths are still true. It's a good book for everyone. The word proverb comes from the word mashal. This comes from a root word which means to have dominion or to rule. This is true because of the commanding power and influence which wise and weighty sayings have on mankind in general. He that teaches them has power over his audience. Much of the wisdom of ancients has been handed down in proverbs. Some believe that we can judge the character of a nation by the proverbs it has. There are many corrupt proverbs which tend to ruin men's minds and harden them in sin, but these proverbs of Solomon were not merely a collection of wise sayings that had been handed down, but were the dictates of the Spirit of God given to Solomon. Although other writers evidently contributed to this book of Proverbs, they were all inspired by God, and their purpose is the same, to direct us to conduct our lives in a proper way so that in the end we may be pleasing to the Lord. The teachings in Proverbs are underlying principles, which are not always inflexible laws and absolute promises. These expressions are general truths and may have acceptance due to uncertainty of life and the unpredictable behavior of ungodly men. God does not guarantee uniform outcome or application of each proverb, but in studying and applying them, one is able to contemplate the mind of God, His character, His attributes, His works, and His blessings. All of the treasures of wisdom and knowledge expressed in Proverbs are hidden in the Father and Christ. Colossians 2 verse 3, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So the wisdom of knowledge found in Proverbs will not conflict with God's will for us today. 1 Corinthians 1, 30 and 31, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Again in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 24, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. If the book of Proverbs is the wisdom of God, then Proverbs is compatible with Christ. This book is not a hodgepodge of unrelated statements. It makes sense and does have arrangement and organization. Solomon said of his own teaching in Ecclesiastes 12:9, and moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge, yea, he gave good heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs. Just as Psalms is a collection of songs, Proverbs is a collection of sayings. So beginning in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 1.